I may say I'm glad to be here. I hope you can hear me. Last time I was here, they couldn't hear me. Perhaps it was just as well. But anyway, I'd like to, for you to hear me because it's not going to be very long. As I spoke to my son yesterday, he says, I'll take up a lot of time in the morning. He says, so you won't have to talk very much at night. So we figured I talk too much anyway, I suppose. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. And I remember Paul saying to the, when he came into Corinth, I think the second time or maybe the third time, he says, I determined to not know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I come tonight, I don't know very much about any of you, but I'm not going to be critical of anybody. But if I should happen to say something maybe that make a shoe that'll fit you pretty good, well, I don't be offended because I don't know, I don't know any of you personally. But Paul said, you know, he says there's divisions among you. He says, my brethren, there ought not to be. One says I'm of Paul, another of Apollos, nigh of Cephas, nigh of Christ. Was Christ divided, he said, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I'm going to tell you tonight that I'm going to have a testimony tonight. I was going to have a testimony since I come here. But I was told by those that love me most that I talk too much in testimony services. That when you get up to testimony, you're not supposed to preach a sermon. And when you get up to preach a sermon, you're not to have a testimony. It's supposed to be a sermon. And when you get up to testify is supposed to be a testimony. So I don't believe that you can have a testimony without bringing in the scripture. So tonight I'm going to try and tell you why I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why I hear they sang that song again the last time I got up here, they sang the same one. I know that my Redeemer liveth, I know whom I believe in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep those things which I have committed unto him against that day. And I believe, and I know, I'm not going to say I believe or I think or I don't know, I'm going to say I know whom I have believed in. And, you know, Brother Hubert here can't save me, Brother Don can't save me, or Brother Tom can't save me, but as Paul said, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But take heed how you build thereon, for other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So they can give me instructions and all this, but they can't save me. There's no one can save me but Jesus Christ himself. He came into the world and took on the form of man that through death he might destroy him at power of death, that is the devil. And he's hung on the cross of Calvary, says it is finished. And he hung his head and gave up the ghost. So tonight, I'm going to tell you why I come into the gospel. And it was no coincidence either. You know, and I worked on the railroad for 20 years. And I worked in the yard most of the time, and we ate our lunch at the shanty. And there may be two or three crews in there and car inspectors, maybe a dozen or so people around sometime. So when I would go and tell them what I believe sometime, they would make fun of me. You know, Paul said, in the last days, there's going to be mockers in the last days. There's mockers today. We're living in the last days. How do I know we're living in the last days, you ask? You know, Joel said, it's come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I shall pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. You know, when Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, there was darkness over all the earth, and the sun was darkened. There was two kinds of darkness over the earth when Christ was crucified, when he hung his head and gave up the ghost. And that veil that was on the temple, the old tabernacle, was taken away. You know, in them days, under the law, they had to bring sacrifice, they had to bring blood. And only the great high priest was able to go beyond that veil into the holiest holies, which he offered for his own sins in the ears of the people, which could not take away sin. that Christ died on the cross, that I might come to him. So, as I say, I would tell them about sometimes at Christmas time, the birth of Christ and so on, and they say it was only a coincidence that he had to go to Bethlehem in time of taxes. That was only a coincidence. But it wasn't a coincidence, was it? He was born in a time when people were taxed. Every man had to go to his own country and be taxed. So David, or what was his name?
Joseph.
Joseph. He had to take Mary and his wife was great with child up to Bethlehem, the house where David was born. I believe he was born in the same house that David was born, in Bethlehem. So anyway, it wasn't no coincidence. It was told in the Old Testament, down through the prophets, that he was to go to the house born in Bethlehem, the land of Judea, which was least among the prophets of Egypt. So when I was come into the church, I don't think it was any coincidence. You know, you might say that I'm presumptuous, big feeling, or conceited, or something like that, and I say that it was no coincidence that I came into the church. I left my home in Nova Scotia when I was 18 years old. Well, little I would have been 18 years old in October, and I left in August. So I come to Regina, and I don't think it was any coincidence that I went to my mother-in-law's boarding house, and I was married to her daughter, which belonged to the church. I didn't belong to the church when I was married, but I remember as well as I do yesterday when I went down to Viceroy, and I went to the Frank Jordan's farm and was dipped in the watering trough in the yard. The ground tub they hid, about so high, half full of water. And I can remember, when I come up out of the water, I heard these good people sing, "Up from the grave he arose a mighty victim from the dark domain." I wasn't too young when I was baptized, but perhaps I was too soon, because one morning, they were going to Viceroy, and T.J. Jordan, Apostle Jordan, says, "Slim," they used to call me in them days. He says, "We're going to Viceroy now. Do you want to come along?" I says, "Okay." So I think this is all planned of God. Not because it's me or anybody else, but I think, you know, we heard last Sunday night about Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah, God told him to go as a prophet, go and teach the people. He said, "I can't go out." He said, "I'm only a child," the first or second chapter of Jeremiah. And God says to him, "Say not that thou art but a child." He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, and before thou come forth of the womb, I knew thee, and I sanctified thee to be a prophet unto the people." So I may say, as I said before, presumptuous, that I say that this was no coincidence that I was led by the Spirit of God. I wasn't brought up in the church. And my parents, they never heard tell of the gospel of Christ. But my mother, I used to hear my mother talk about Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. And she figured that all she had to do was believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all that was necessary. You know, that's what Paul said to the Philippine jailer, he said, when they come in, he said, "What, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and they were baptized, he and all his straightway. So my mother gave me the Bible before I left home, of course, and I was always interested in the gospel, always interested in the Bible. I was brought up in a Methodist church, or a Baptist, or a Methodist, I guess it was, and we went used to go to the churches around there. Some of them were the Pentecostal church, and this big fat guy get behind the counter, and he pounded the desk, and he had the silver cord, and he said, "If you die tonight, and you don't believe in Jesus, and have accepted him into your heart, you're going to go to hell forever and ever." So I didn't go along with that too much, because my Bible didn't tell me that. So when I come to Regina, I remember one morning, Sunday morning, I was wandering around looking at the big church. I wonder which church I should go to. But I don't think I went to any. But anyway, I finally went to the boarding house, and that's where I first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you tonight why I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, why I belong to the Church of Christ. Now, there's divisions among us. I could ask, when I was here before, you know, I used to ask questions. Ask this guy something about the Bible. Ask that guy. Well, chances are you wouldn't get the same answer about questions that I asked. And then I got the name of being argumentative. I was always asking questions. Start an argument and then sit back and let somebody else argue about it or something like that. But I decided I was going to make a new image this time. Perhaps you know that. I don't ask any questions. And so I just listen. So when Paul came into Corinth, he said that God had revealed that the things hidden from the foundation of the world, he was telling these Christians. But he says, God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. So I believe that I have to search and ask and pray and search the Scriptures. Well, that's what Christ said. He said, search the Scriptures. I think it was in the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think they have the words of eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. But you would not come unto me that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary, and he's sitting on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and all powers made subject unto him. So when I die, you know, in the 16th chapter, I believe, of Matthew, when he told the people how he must go to Jerusalem and be tempted of these people and tried, and that he was going to die and he's going to rise again the third day. But Peter said unto him, he said, I'm not going to allow that. He said, that shall not happen to you. Jesus said to Peter, he says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thy savor is not the things that be of God, but be of man. For what will a man, for it's better for a man to lose his life. And to save, if a man saves his life, he shall lose it. But if he loses his life for my sake, the same shall find it. For what's a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So the Son of Man, he says, the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he's going to reward every man according to his works. So if I should say to you tonight that I'm not going to die, I know that some often I'll be criticized for it. I guess that's why I waited till the last Sunday I was going to be here. But if you have anything to say to me, why, you can write me. Tell me where I'm wrong, or put it in the Advocate. Tell him, Brother Banford, he was way off. For Paul said, that why do you judge your brother, or do you set it not your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we might receive the things done in the flesh, whether they be good or bad. Well, why should we have to stand before the great white throne of judgment and give an account of the things done in the flesh? Christ died on the cross for me. And if I believe his commandments, he that hears my words and believeth in him that sent me has everlasting life. That's in the 5th chapter of St. John, isn't it? Has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till I see the Son of God, man coming in his kingdom. What did he say to, I like this Paul. My wife said, I heard more about Paul since I come up down here than I ever did before. Who is this Paul anyway? How could he say that I know that my Redeemer liveth? You read in Galatians, first chapter of the Galatians, he said, I didn't receive it from man, neither was it taught it, but by the revelations of Jesus Christ. You know, that's what Jesus said to Peter when he asked the disciples, whom do you say that I am? Peter got up and says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thou art Peter, you're only Peter, you're only a man. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, this same Peter, Jesus said to him, when he was going to detain him from going to Jerusalem, he says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but be of men. And on the way to Gethsemane, didn't he say, Simon, Simon, the devil has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat? But I prayed for you, and your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He cursed and swore at the crucifixion, at the trial, that he never knew him. But, you know, I think it's in the 31st chapter of Zechariah that he said, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Remember, it's the house of Israel and the house of Judah that he's going to make this new covenant come to pass afterwards. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And you know, as I said before in Joel, come to pass afterwards. What's he talking about? After we pass off from this earth? I don't think so. He was talking, I believe, I know within myself that he was talking about the day of Pentecost. When he said he was going to give the keys of the kingdom to Peter. And I believe on the day of Pentecost, Peter received those keys. We remember his first sermon after he was converted. They said that these men are, this was noise abroad when they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled. They weren't partly filled. These people were there. They waited for 10 days after Christ was taken up, you know, to go to Jerusalem. And they went into this upper room where they were all together of one accord. And they waited. I don't think they knew what they were waiting for. But when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where it was assembled. Do we have to have here tonight a sound of the rushing mighty wind to convince us that we must be born again, must be born of the Spirit? And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they said, some of them said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter stood up and he said, these men are not full of new wine. Suppose it's the third hour of the day. For this was spoken off by the prophet Joel in the last days. That's what Joel apparently was talking about, the day of Pentecost. But Peter said, this was spoken off by the prophet Joel in the last days. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So, what did the, you know, on the 14th chapter of John, Jesus made a promise to me. I believe it was to me as well as to those in them days. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare, if, it's right up to us, that he goes to prepare that place for us. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you are, where I am, there you will be also. Thomas said, I know not where thou goest, I know the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. We've got to be drawn. I believe that we've got to have the desire in our heart. You know, when John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and when he saw that many of these Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Say, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children like unto Abraham. The axe is laid at the root of the trees, and every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing and gnailing of teeth. You know, when Jesus on the Luke was it when he came in, when John was put into prison and he came into Galilee preaching the gospel. When he came into Galilee, and his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And when he stood up to read, there was handed him the book of Isaiah. And when he opened the book, when he opened the book, there it was. The 61st chapter of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted and cleanse those that are sick and so on, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and handed it again to the minister and sat down. But he didn't finish it. You know, in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, he said that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He didn't say he come to preach the gospel to the poor. They didn't have the gospel preached to them like we do today to the poor. They had to bring a sacrifice before they could get their sins forgiven. They had to bring blood, and the high priest took it into the tabernacle, and he offered it for his own sins and for the error of the people, which he could never take away sin. And he said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So, I would like to read here. I got a couple of places marked in my Bible, in the Book of Mormon. I don't know whether I can find it or not. Now, this is a sermon. No, that's not it. Don't matter anyway. It was Jacob speaking. Who was Jacob? First, we got to find out who's talking and what they're talking about. Jacob was the son of Lehi, the oldest son born in the wilderness after they came out of Jerusalem. I'm going to read from the second book of Nephi, the sixth chapter. I'll start at the 47th verse. And he suffered this, that the resurrection must pass upon all men, that all might stand before him as a great and judgment day. And he commanded men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel. That is Jesus, I imagine. That's who I say it is. As they cannot be saved, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, has spoken it. Wherefore he has given, this is what I wanted to bring to your attention. Wherefore he has given a law, and where there is no law given, there is no punishment. And where there is no punishment, there is no condemnation. For they are delivered by the power of him, that's power of Christ, I say, for the atonement satisfies the demand of his justice upon all those that have not the law given to them, that they are delivered from that awful monster, death and hell, and the devil, and the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Now, I'm not talking about two different classes of people here when I said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's not talking to us. He's talking to some people that didn't have the law. For they are delivered, and they are restored to that God who gave them breath, which is the Holy One of Israel. Now I believe in a just God and a loving God, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Where was it I read, maybe in Romans or somewhere, that we all must give an account of ourselves to God. If we don't give our account of ourselves to God here, we're going to give our account of ourselves to God. But woe, now listen to this, woe unto him that has the law given, yea, has all the commandments of God like unto us. Talking to you right now. He's talking about us right now. That has all the law like unto us, and that transgresses them, and that wasted the days of his probation, for awful is the state. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one, oh, the vainness and frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, they suppose they know themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, that it profits them not, and they shall perish. But, no, there's something else, but to be learned is good, if they hearken unto the counsel of God. But woe unto the rich who are rich in the things of this world, of the world. For because they are rich, they despise the poor, and they persecute the meek. And their hearts are upon their treasure, therefore their treasure is their God. Now, money, it's all right to have money as far as I'm concerned. But the love of money is the root of all evil. We, on the 20th chapter of Exodus, where he gives a covenant to Moses, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before you. You shall not make unto you any graven image. If we're going to make money our God, I said this to a person in the shanty at work one time, and he put his hand in his pocket and he took out I need or want. But you know, when Simon, I think it was 8th or 9th chapter of Acts, when he heard Paul, Peter preach, was it? Or Paul, that they were converted, or they believed in his preaching, he offered them money. When he saw them through the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. But I think it was Peter said, thy money perish with thee. Because thou thought the gift of God can be purchased with money, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. So the first thing, we have to get our heart right in the sight of God. You know, just because we go down into the waters of baptism and come up out of the water, that's all there is to it. That's not all there is to it. That's only the beginning. We've got to grow in grace and truth and the knowledge of the Lord. Paul said, I fed you with milk and not with meat because you were not able to stand it. And not now hardly are you able. She says, milk belongs to the babies. The strong meat belongs to those who have their senses exercised by reason of use to know good and evil. Now how did Job know that when he said in the 14th chapter, he asked the question, well, if a man dies, shall he live again? And I think you have to turn over to the 19th chapter of Job, and he gives the answer. He says, oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book and laid in a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth, and so skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and my eyes shall behold and not another. So my reins be consumed within thee. You know, on the 15th chapter of 2 Corinthians, these people, I don't think they believed in the second coming of Christ. They didn't believe maybe in the resurrection of Christ. But Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, of the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Afterwards, those that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom. That's Christ is going to deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father. For Christ is going to reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. The last enemy destroyed is death. You know, we read in the, I think it's the 20th chapter of Revelations, where Christ was bound 1,000 years. But he wasn't done away with. He was only bound for 1,000 years. But after 1,000 years were finished, he was going to be loose for a little season. He was going to have to tempt the nations once more from one end of earth to the other, Gog and Magog. You know, when he comes, he's going to gather his people home. As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth on, even unto the west, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. What did he say? There's going to be 2 in the bed. One was going to be taken, another left. 2 women were grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. But when he gathered, when he, I think, what I was going to look at, I don't want to get it Ezer. Ezer, is it? The last chapter in the last words of Ezer. You've likely read it before, but I'm going to read it to you. Now the last words which were written by Ezer are these. For the Lord shall, the Lord will that I be translated, that I suffer the will of the Lord in the flesh, it matters not if it so be that I am saved in the kingdom of God. He didn't care whether he was going to suffer in the flesh till Christ come, or whether Christ was going to come before he passed from this life into the next. For I believe, and I am persuaded, that Christ is going to come, and he's going to gather his people home. He says, what's he waiting for? As we understand it, there's 4,000 years from Adam to Christ. Look at what the people suffered in those 4,000 years. And it's almost 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. So they say after the 2,000 years, he's going to come. But he told the people. He told his apostles. I believe he's talking to his apostles. If I can put my finger right on it now. It's in Acts where he gathered the 11 apostles together. And they asked him, he says, will ye at this time restore again the kingdoms of Israel? But he said, it's not for you to know the times of the season which the Father shall put in his own power. But, listen to this, though. He says that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, when he called his disciples together, he chose 12 and he sent them out. He says, take neither purse nor scrip nor 2 pairs of shoes. Don't go to the Samaritans or the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep of the children of the tribe of the children of Israel. But the second time, after he was taken up, when he led them out as far as Bethlehem, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. He says, all power. Now he says, all power is given unto me on heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to serve all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now I was set back a little bit. I'm not criticizing. I'm critical, maybe, but not criticizing. In Sunday school, I'm not blaming the Sunday school teacher. I couldn't blame the Sunday school teacher because he's my son. But anyway, it would come up that unless you can go to church, I understood, you go to church, you must go to church, associate with the people, it didn't say it in so many words, but perhaps some of them meant that you're lost. I've been isolated from the church for 40 years. And my Bible tells me that Christ said, promised to me, that he'd never leave me nor forsake me. When Peter got up to preach that first sermon, when he received the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and Christ said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And when he got up and told them that these people are not drunk as you suppose, I said that before. I better not repeat myself. because I'm not supposed to do that. So, but anyway, when they heard Peter, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise unto you and to your children, even to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call." And with many other words did he sort on them, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." We've got to save ourselves. But where was it that Paul said that how can we believe in him who we have not heard? And how can we hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? For it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of great joy." So we're going to be sent. You know, I think it's when John the Baptist, it says about John the Baptist, a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the truth, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So he came that he might tell the people that Jesus was going to come. And, you know, John said, "I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, on whom you shall see the Spirit descend and remain on it. He it is that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." In the fifth chapter of 3 Nephi, he gave these disciples, that he chose 12 when he was here on this continent, gave them power to baptize with water. "And after ye are baptized with water," he said, "I will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost." So have we, I suppose there's none here other than babies. Anybody that reached the age of accountability, and nobody here, I suppose, that don't belong to the Church of Christ, haven't been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. For that's what Paul said, as many as been baptized as put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, male nor female, for we're all one in Christ Jesus. So, when are we baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire? Is there anybody here? You know, if I was in the, standing up in the Pentecostal church, the Calvary Pentecostal church in Truro, they would say, they would say, "Put up your hand," when the preacher asked the question. But we don't do that. Is there anybody here who hasn't been touched by the power of God? I know I may be presumptuous, but I've been touched with the power of God. I know what it is. You know, that's why these people knew that God, that they could say, "I know whom I believe in." Job, he talked to God. You know, I think about the 32nd chapter of Job, where this Elihu, he listened to these people argue with Job. They condemned Job, but they had no answer to Job. And he said, "I thought the old should speak, and the multitude of the years should understand wisdom. For I was young, and I durst not show my opinion." But he says, that wasn't so. He says, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty give him understanding. Therefore, if we have that spirit in us, but we've got to cultivate that spirit. You know, brothers and sisters at home, we have our problems, you know. As I started out to say, that was an old coincidence that I don't believe it was any coincidence that I came into the church. But as I sat at home and I would read the Bible, more the Bible, more than the Book of Mormon, you people all know that, I suppose, I've been told often enough, that I would have problems, and I would open up my Bible, and the answers, I think, for all our problems is in these books. You know, when these people stood before the great white throne of judgment, And the books were open. What books? Was these the books that he's talking about? The books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we have to have our names written in this Lamb's book of life. So I believe that as I said, I never seen any real miracles in my life, you know. I had my leg broke once, compound fracture, sliced off like that. I had it, they stretched it for a month or so to get it back, and I had the cast on maybe for 10 months or a year or so, and I belonged to the church then too. I didn't see any miracles, but I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters, the time is gone. I should be through. But, you know, you get carried away. That I'm going to tell you about the miracle that happened in my life. When I come into the Church of Jesus Christ, when I joined the Church of Christ, and when I met my wife, that I was married by T.J. Jordan, and he joined us together as one. And after 50 years, she's been my helpmeet and companion all these days. And the miracle, to me, that was one of the greatest miracles of my life, when I joined the church and got married to the woman that's living with me for over 50 years. And, you know, I don't know whether it's in the Bible or not, but they say love grows sweeter as it gets older. And I can vouch for that. I can vouch that love grows sweeter as you get older. If it don't, why, you better look to God your Savior. For Jesus is our Savior. He died for me. I believe the promises for me. I believe we're living in the last days. As Paul said, when he was in prison the second time, I believe, right into Timothy, the second chapter of Timothy, he says, I know who I believe in. And he says, in perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and such turn away. And we're living in those days. All we have to do is go out in the world and see. I'll admit, when we left home, I haven't got the faith that my wife has got. That's for sure. But we get down and we thank God for all the spiritual blessings that we have received, and ask that He will continue to guide and direct us, watch over us on our way. But I have to use a little bit of common sense. I knew when I left Truro, 4,700 miles from here the way we went, that I had to know the way. I said to a fellow at work one time, I says, I know where I'm going. He says, how do you know where I'm going? I says, I have a promise left with me. And I know within myself that promise is for me. Ah, he says, that's only a fairy tale. He says, when I go, he says, I know where I'm going. And I said, I know where you're going too. You're going to the ground. Your body's going to the dust, for that's where it came from. And he says, that's all there is to me. But after a while, he wasn't feeling too good, and things weren't going just too good. And he says, perhaps, he says, there's something to this after all. I said, no perhaps about it, no maybe about it. I said, I know within myself whom I believe in. So, let's go back I better not go back too far. Let us go back to the beginning, when God said, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God walked upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And you turn around, and we'll put into the last chapter, In Revelation, he says there won't need to be any light where we're going. The Lord God and the Lamb is going to be light of it. That's where it was in the first place. God made the light. And what was it, the third day or so, he made the moon and the stars. And the fourth day, he said, come, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And in the image of God created he them, male and female. And Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He says to this woman, he says, you know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation's off the Jews. I wish I had time to go into Romans, the 8th chapter of Romans. I think, is one of the loveliest chapters in the book, in the Bible for me, one of them, the 8th chapter of Romans, when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans before he went to Rome. He sent it by this woman, Phoebe. He sent it a messenger. She was going to, he sent this letter to them, to the Romans. There was Christians in Rome then, because, you know, the day of Pentecost, there were strangers from Rome there. And Paul mentioned people that was Christians in Rome, even some of his own converts. So he sent this letter to them. And he told them, he says, we're not all Israel that came out of Israel. You know, there was two seeds come from Abraham, the seed of the flesh and the seed of the spirit. He said to God appeared unto Abraham when he was 99 years old. He said, next year at this time, you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac. And in him all nations of the earth shall bless. But Ishmael, he said, I'll make a great nation. His bondswoman Hagar had a son, and he said, that I'll make a great nation of him. He had 12 princes. He's going to have 12 sons, Ishmael had. And he was going to be a great nation. But Isaac, the spiritual seed, was going to, through him, was all nations, was the earth was going to be blessed. For Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Israel, and began Judah and his brethren. You notice this Judah. If you follow it down through, you can read in First Matthew, or in the third chapter of Luke, he tells about this descendants down, right down. He says, Jacob begat Joseph, but then it changed. It didn't say Joseph begat Jesus. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, to whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. So I'm glad to be here tonight, and I just thought I would give you, before we left, you never know, I pray God that sometime, somehow, that we'll be chanced to meet again. But anyway, my prayer is that love of God that passes all understanding will be always with us when we separate one from the other. And that God of peace, that God of love, and that Holy Spirit will go with us, each and every one of us, that we might be able to overcome the evils that lie before us. For we know where I'm in. We're living in perilous times. We're living in the last days. And we're living in a time when men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of the things that's coming upon the world. So, thank you very much for having me speak. Thank you, Jay, for asking me to speak. And I kind of wanted to, and I didn't want to. But now I'm here, and I've had my little say. And I pray God that I ask you that you might pray for me, for us as we travel. I know that your prayers have been answered. I know that you've prayed for me. You know, I got a thorn in the flesh. The wife's giving me a signal, it's time I quit. I told her that before before I come, if I talk too long, we had a signal, you know. I don't know whether that was it or not. But anyway, sometimes I say things about her and she blushes. You ought to see her when she blushes. Well, anyway, I'm glad I was here, and I know that you've prayed for me, and their prayers will be answered, and I hope you'll still continue to pray for me, for us, that our faith will be whole, will still be strong, and we look forward to that day when Christ shall come to gather his people home.